Well, good to see you this evening. Appreciate the reinforcements that have come in. Appreciate your prayers this week. Lord, would bless and help us. I wanted to, this evening, start. I'd like to go back to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and mention a few things. Won't preach the whole message over again, but I wanted to reiterate something. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, was the battle with David facing Goliath. And I wanted to reiterate the part in verse 33. It said, "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And the enemy is so quick to come to us and to intimidate us in any way he can, to tell us that we're not capable, we're not able, we'll fail. I want to go now in verse 38. So we have the enemy in our battles. The enemy is there too. It's not just us and circumstances or us and other people, but there's a devil that's working also to try to intimidate and hinder us. And we also mentioned verse 38. It said, "And Saul armed David with his armor and put on an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him." There's also, in every battle, there's going to be a temptation to fight on our terms, in our way. And those ways, when we fight in our own human strength, our own human abilities, we try to war our own conflict, we're usually not very successful doing that. We'll fail and we'll come short. And the enemy is not moved, and things don't happen. And many times we usually have to go back and get down on our knees again and ask the Lord, "Help us, Lord," and get more earnest. Now in verse 40 it says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." I want to liken these stones tonight to the Word of God. The Scripture likens the Word of God unto a rock, and it's our defense, and it works. But I know that the Spirit of God will give us Scriptures. It will open up Scriptures to our understanding, and it will inspire them to our heart. The Spirit of the Lord will do that when we look to Him in prayer. And it's effective. And it will work. When the Spirit of the Lord is working, and when He gives us the Word of the Lord with that, those two things coupled together will be victorious. We'll be able to overcome the battles and the difficulties that the enemy puts in our way. One more thing I wanted to note about this tonight is it says that, "And when the Philistine looked about," and I want to, let's see here, verse 40 at the end, and it said, "And he drew near to the Philistine." So here's the armies, here's Goliath, here's David, and David starts stepping out. He starts drawing near from the rest of the army. He starts being identified. When we do that, we're in for a battle. I want to tell us that tonight. The closer we get to the enemy, the closer we get to his strongholds, the greater the conflict there's going to be. And I want to tell us that tonight, because sometimes I haven't always realized that. The enemy can come in like a flood so many times. against our mind and our spirit. And it can come in so strongly at times, and the battle can wage so strong in our mind when we're getting close to what God is wanting us to do, or we're getting close to the stronghold of the enemy, the fire's going to start flying. You remember the battle D-Day? When the Allied forces starting got close to France and the German was entrenched on the coast? When they realized that they were there, the bombshells came and the gunfire, the closer they got, it was a horrific, that's the way natural battles are. There's confusion, there's noise, there's turmoil, there's difficulty, and I want to say it's the same way in our spiritual warfare. I remember one time, Dad Husky told me, we were praying about something, and he said, if there's obstacles in the way, he said, you better go. He said, if everything goes smooth, he said, you just stay at home. You're in the wrong place. Folks, when we get close to the strongholds of the enemy, we're going to face some fire. I want to tell you something. Sometimes it's going to be right in our own home. It's not always out there. Sometimes it's going to be right in our own four walls, you might say. But the enemy knows, and I want us to realize, because sometimes we'll back off and we'll begin to question, what have I done? What have I done to cause this? And we'll begin to feel, sometimes the enemy come in so strong, you feel like, I don't even know if I'm saved. You know what I'm talking about tonight? The enemy works in our hearts and our minds to discourage us. But I want us to tell us, keep going on. The word of the Lord that He gives us, stand on that and take that, regardless of all the fire and all the things that come, because that sometimes we get the wrong signal. We think, well, God's not with me. It's part of the battle tonight. So tarry before God and let the Spirit speak to you. And when He does, when the Spirit gives you direction, when He opens up things to you of what you need to do, and He'll do that. I know the Lord is faithful tonight. When we call upon Him and we seek Him with all of our heart, He's faithful to open up the Scriptures and to give us direction. And when He does, expect there's going to be some conflict. And the enemy comes against, the Scripture calls him the accuser of the brethren. And he's doing everything he can to oppose the people of God and to oppose the work of the Lord and to oppose the gospel being spread. The enemy is fighting, and he'll do that. And we don't want to just draw back from that and say, what have I done wrong now? But to recognize there's a devil, there's an adversary, that he comes in and he wars against our mind. He brings doubts, he brings fears, he brings accusations. And they're very real tonight. And we've got to stand against those things and press against those. David faced all of these when he faced Goliath. You know, his brother said, what'd you do with those few sheep? What are you doing here? You're out of place. You need to go back home. Basically what they were saying. He faced all these things, and we do too, in our battles. And for us to be victorious tonight, we got to continue to go and stand on what God gives us. And the Lord will see us through, and He'll help us, and He'll bless us. I thought of that verse as every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. Spiritual warfare is strong. It comes against, and we have to fight against it. I know there have been times, I've had times in meeting that I've had the enemy come against you. You almost felt like you wanted to go home. The pressure was so great. Am I alone in this? I don't think I am. Because I know the devil's real. But the pressure that He can bring about on your mind, the confusion, the turmoil that He brings to your heart and spirit, doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. It means you're in a battle. And Lord, help us to stand firm at those times and not to give way to the enemy. I wanted to mention another verse in Isaiah, the 3rd chapter. Isaiah, the 3rd chapter, I wanted to get verse 11. It says, "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." I want to talk a little bit tonight about communication. That's been a struggle in my life. I don't know if it's been a struggle with you or not. Studies have shown that women talk more than men. Well, that's a mark against the men. We are spiritual beings. We are physical beings. We are emotional beings. We've got to cover all the bases. And I want to tell you what I feel like I've failed in my life to some degree, that I wished I would have done better as a father. And that was to communicate with my children better. There are some things that are hard to talk about, that need to be talked about. There are some things that our children and our young people growing up need to know about courtship, marriage, different things along that line that they need mom and dad's input. It's not always easy. I want to, tell a little bit about myself. I grew up in a dysfunctional family. My mother was wounded as a young child, and she never recovered from it. She struggled all her life from those wounds that she received as a child. She wasn't able to meet my needs because she had her own that she never resolved. And I grew up basically without a father. There were quite a few number of men that came and went. I had a grandmother that was very dear to me, that I loved. I believe she loved me, even though I don't really remember her saying that. She proved it by what she did. My grandfather was a very quiet man. He didn't know what he thought. I respected my grandfather. I loved him. I spent lots of times riding the combine with him through the summer. But we never talked. I want to challenge us this evening because I did all those things. I took my children camping. We went hiking. I mean hiking. 3 days. Overnight. We went skiing. We went to the coast. We went camping. We did a lot of things together. And those are good. We need to. Sometimes we overlook those things. But in those things, we need to go a step farther. And that's when we begin to open up our heart to our children. And we try to get into their heart. You know, it's hard to tell our children the places that we failed in life. It's hard to admit failure, isn't it? We like to think we did it all okay. But we usually don't. We usually make mistakes. We usually fail in certain areas. All of us have strengths and all of us have weaknesses. We did those things, but I feel like if I had it to do over again, I would take more time individually. And some children are more open than others. Some children, it seems like you can talk to them so easy. And other children, it's like pulling teeth. Well, it's that way with me growing up. I never did talk. I didn't have anybody in my life that I talked with. All through my teenage years, I was by myself, basically. Even though my mom was there and my grandparents were there. I carried everything on the inside. That's not good. The Lord has designed us as people we need each other. We need one another's input. The scriptures that talk about edification, it's encouragement, it's building up. It's strengthening, undergirding. You wives, I'm sure your husbands told you that they loved you and they made their vows to you. Is that good enough? When you started out marriage, is that good? Is that going to last 50 years? Probably won't. You know, the husbands are the same way, although maybe they don't acknowledge it as much. Men have emotional needs too. You know, what does it do to you when you come home and your wife's got a special dinner made for you, a special dessert, and she's got the lights low and a candle on the table? Does that do anything for you? It helps you, doesn't it? It makes you want to go on. It makes you want to be a better husband. It makes you want to sacrifice more and do more. Lord, help us tonight to recognize the value of these little things in life of communicate, and I say little thing. I used to think that talk was little. Small talk, you've ever heard that? Small talk doesn't really amount to much, you know. But since I realized it has to start with small talk before it gets to the bigger talk or the deeper talk, it's got to start somewhere. But when we open our hearts up, we've got to learn. And I know you don't just share your heart with everybody in the world. I realize that. But with our companions and with our children, we need to be vulnerable. We need to set aside our pride. And recognize they need some input. My wife has told me different times in our journey, different occasions, she says, we need to talk. Have you ever heard that, men, brothers? You know what that means? That means exactly what it means. It means we need to talk. And these, we got to get the cards out on the table. That's not easy all the time. It's one of our battles. There's a temptation to just push some of these things aside and ignore them. But we'll face it later. And our children will face it also. Lord, help us to have, you know, they talk about there being a generation gap. Young people say, well, mom and dad don't understand. There doesn't have to be a generation gap. Mom and dad understands many times many things we don't think they understand. And we need to be able to share. We need to be able to ask questions. I remember when I was in school, teacher would explain something and, all right, does everybody have it? Raise your hands if you don't. How many hands went up? It's embarrassing. I don't got it. I don't get it. Can you do it again? We pretend like we've got it. You know, we do that as adults too. Sometimes we pretend we hear it with our head. We got the knowledge. But I don't really have the application of it. I don't have it working. And it's hard to say, I don't have it. But we need to be willing to ask questions. Dad, what was it like? What was it like when you were young? What was your struggles? What did you battle with? You think, you know, we look at dad and mom and say, well, they're so strong and mature and they know everything. You know, they're able to do anything. They were young once. They made mistakes. They had some failures. Ask them. And we need to ask our children. Lord, help us. When we see that something's not working right, when we see trouble, when we see sadness and struggling, let's not push it aside. Ignore it. Let's not be wrapped up in our own world so much that we can't stop and ask, what are you struggling with? What's bothering you? What's your questions? We need that. The family of God needs that. When I look back in my spiritual life, my Christian life, when I got saved, I was so ignorant. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't know. I didn't have my left hand from my right spiritually. But I had people in my life that I was able to talk to.
that I was able to pray with, that I was able to ask questions about. And it helped me. I probably wouldn't be here today without that. You know, babes, when they come into the world, they can't survive on their own. They need nurture. They need care. They need to be spoon-fed. You got to put the food up there to them. You know, spiritual babes are the same way. People are the same way. Lord, help us today as fathers. Lord, help us to meet the emotional needs of our family. The emotional needs of our wife. You know, people sometimes, even I feel like even in the best of homes, people still struggle and have battles and things that they face in life. But help us, Lord, to relate to them today. I believe there's healing. I believe there's help. I believe there's blessings. You know, I wonder, how well do we know one another? You say, oh yeah, I know Brother Bob. I know. I've seen him at Monarch. I've seen him at a few revival meetings here and there. But I mean, how well do we really know each other? You know, sometimes we can just kind of come to service and we talk about the weather. We talk about current events. We talk about the election. But so many times, we don't really open up our hearts. You know, sometimes we'll say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. But really, down inside, are we? But that's kind of a polite answer? You know, I mean, we don't want to be deceitful, but at the same time, if we're not careful, we've got to open ourselves up to be able to really know one another. I just picked up a book there by the bedside today and read just a little bit in it and talked about muscle cars, and this guy, he knows the engine. He knows he spent lots of time into this car. He knows all the things about this car. He can talk to you for hours about it. But what about his family? How much does he know about that? How much does he know about the needs of his children and of his wife? Lord, help us tonight. The devil would like to put walls, barriers. He'd like to put places that we just kind of stay behind. And you know, if we're not careful, we can live our entire lives that way. Go through our entire life just kind of enclosed to myself. I've been really challenged in my life. You know, we live in a hurting world today. People are hurting all around us. And we need to be able to communicate to them. People are struggling. People are falling spiritually. Lord, help us today to be willing to communicate, willing to open ourselves. You know, Brother James told me he's worked with guys in jails a lot, but he said over 90% of men in prison have hatred towards their fathers. 90% of the men in prison have hatred, anger, and resentment towards their fathers. I remember reading an article about a guy. He mentioned that in his younger years, he felt so close to his dad. He felt his dad did things with him, played with him. They did things together. But when he got in his teenage years, his dad had some issues that in his own life that were unresolved. And he hid himself in his garage. He hid himself in his garage. He'd come home from work, he'd go to the garage. Night after night. I've known men to do that. I knew a man there in Guthrie that did that. Night after night, out in his garage, and his children and his wife are there in the house. And they're struggling today. We need our fathers. There's an attack against men in our society. This scripture, it says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them." We've got a woman that's running for president. Where are the men? There's a vacuum. The men are falling. In our society, the men are falling. They're failing. They're failing to communicate to the next generation coming on. The scriptures talk about us teaching our children the different times when you rise up, when you lay down, when you're in your house to talk, communicate. We were talking tonight on the way to service. Sometimes you go in the restaurant, everybody's on a cell phone, on their own one. Children and parents, that's a time to share. That's a time to open up. It's a time to visit. It's a time to get close. Lord, help us today to recognize I know I haven't been perfect in this. When I was younger, I didn't recognize the value, but emotional needs are so real today. Wives have emotional needs. Husbands have emotional needs. Children have emotional, teenagers. And it's good to recognize it. You know, sometimes we need to be able to listen to people when they disagree. When they want to talk, when they have a different viewpoint. You know, sometimes it's so easy just to, no, that's not right. And we need to let them air it out. To get quiet and to listen. We live in such a dysfunctional society today. Everywhere you look, God help us today. We've also been reading a book, Lee and I, Empty Nest. We're not there yet. We're getting close.
But it talks about, it's made this statement over and over. It talks about, and it's given different scenarios of people that their children moved out. All of a sudden, it's quiet. And what do? It doesn't have to be that way. You know, our life sometimes revolves around our children. We see about them. We do their laundry. We take care of them. We earn a living for them. We provide for them. It's that part of it, the temporal side, is easier than what I'm talking about tonight. But you know, if husbands and wives, if we take time all along the way together, you know, the routines of life sometimes are very snaring and trapping. We can just get caught in a cycle. And we just go through it sometimes, not realizing what we're doing. We get so busy. We come home and we're so tired. We go, go, go. It can be a vicious cycle. Lord, help us to set aside time. To go out on a little date. And then when our children leave, we still know each other. We're still in love. You know, that's one of the big things that I feel like children need to see in mom and dad is that they still love each other. I've been in many homes where love has grown cold. And there's harshness, undercutting words, criticism, putting one another down. Shouldn't be that way. One verse talks about a foolish woman plucketh down her house with her own hands. Lord, help us today to build our houses up, to strengthen them. Let's meet the emotional needs. Let's be there for one another. That's what we got married for. And I feel like sometimes it's harder for men than it is for women. But our wives need us to open our hearts, talk. Sometimes my wife asks me, "What are you thinking?" Then I've got to think out loud. But she wants to know. She wants to know how I feel about certain things. It's important. Don't underestimate those things. They're valuable. They give us clues into the person's heart and soul. Let's be encouraged and challenged tonight. The Lord will help us face and talk about, you know, sometimes when we're falling short. I want my wife to be able to come to me and say, "Honey, you're coming short here. I need your help." I want her to be able to do that with me. You know, sometimes, I remember reading one account, lady said that after 20-some years of marriage, she came to the realization that she couldn't change her husband. That's quite a few years.
And you know what? When she quit trying to change her husband, somehow he started changing. You know, we can kind of feel that pressure. Wives do too, I'm sure, from their husbands. Let's unconditionally love our families. When they rub us wrong and they're different, but let's be able to talk about it and get it out on the table. You know, marriage, it can get better and better. You know, I'm going to say I'm happier than I was 30 years ago. We just had our anniversary a few days ago, 31st anniversary. And it's better than it was at the beginning. Do you believe that? Some of you don't believe me, do you? It is. And it can be. If we're willing to talk together and work together and pray together. Pray for me.